Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, on yesterday's Drive Time, we reported on the findings of a survey which revealed that one in two female solicitors had experienced sexual harassment. The Dignity Matters research, which was conducted on behalf of the Law Society, also described a profession where bullying is rife and where solicitors are fearful of reporting harassment and discrimination. Here's Michelle Ní-Lungon of the Law Society outlining what the profession's governing body believes it can do with the solicitors who bully and harass.
Currently, conduct of solicitors and for the last number of years is regulated by the Legal Services Regulatory Authority. That's who regulates the conduct of solicitors. It was in, we also have regulated conduct within the Law Society as well. I don't have any statistics in relation to regulation of bullying, harassment or sexual harassment. But what I'm focusing on now is what we do from here. And that's why we are engaging with the younger and diverse members of the profession, as you mentioned, to ensure that they know. And it's all very well knowing your rights in the role of advising other people. Solicitors are people too, and it's quite different, I think, exercising your own rights to advising others. And we have a duty to act as professionals with trust and integrity, and we want to ensure that that's how people behave in their own workplaces.
That was Michelle Ní-Lungon, Senior Vice President of the Law Society, speaking to me on the show yesterday. Well, joining me now is human rights lawyer Simone George, who is a solicitor herself. And Simone took part in this research that we were discussing yesterday. She also lectures on the specialist Shrink Me programmes for lawyers. And you're very welcome to the programme, Simone. Thank you for joining us. I might ask you first about the headline findings of this research that we were discussing yesterday. One in two female solicitors experiencing sexual harassment, and the vast majority of them not reporting it. Were you surprised at it?
No, I wasn't surprised. I filled the survey myself, and it took me quite a long time and quite a journey back in the history of my work life, I suppose, not only in the legal profession, but in other jobs that I've had. And so I'm not surprised. And also, this report is very similar to those that have come out of the arts, what we know about patriarchal culture in the media, in the Dáil, in all parts of Irish society, and of course around the world as the Me Too movement has really, really taken off the last few years.
Yes, indeed. We've been speaking on the show about comedy as well, and the comedy industry and the problems that are emerging there. When you were filling out that survey, what sort of questions did you need to answer, and did you find it difficult to fill it out?
I did. I think overall I felt profoundly sad, for my younger self. Not that it has in places got much better. These things still happen, but I suppose I've the privilege now of age and experience and other privilege that I can walk away or better deal with things. I suppose be braver about dealing with things, and not that the pressure to deal with sexual harassment or bullying should ever be on the victim of that or on the receiver of that behaviour. But it has got easier for those reasons. But I felt very sad, actually, and in particular, which I wasn't expecting, filling the bystander part of it. So you were asked whether you'd experienced bullying. Then there was a separate set of questions in relation to sexual assault and sexual harassment. And then there was a further section on whether you had ever witnessed anybody else experiencing this. And I found that particularly difficult because, especially when I was younger and I didn't recognize bullying for what it was, I probably was a bystander to other people experiencing that. And also I didn't have the tools for intervening. How do you intervene in a way that's safe? How do you not make that situation worse? Beginning of your career, all of that. So that was particularly difficult. Yeah.
I must say it was one of the aspects of the survey that stood out to me, and I discussed it with Michelle yesterday, the very high numbers of people who were reported witnessing, sexual harassment, on a wide range of whether it be sexist jokes or inappropriate comments, but also inappropriate physical touching. Over 30% of people reported witnessing that in the profession. Yeah. It really took me aback. And I can understand why it'd be very difficult to fill it out. I don't know, are there any of your experiences, Simone, that you'd be comfortable talking to us about? And if not, I totally understand.
Yeah, I suppose on that, you know, and this isn't to say that this is something particular to the legal profession, right? This happens in Ireland, you know, anyone who's been to a club or a pub or, you know, a situation like that, I think we're generally dealing with a society that's come out of very serious sexual repression, really enforced hierarchies, patriarchy, you know, and we have a lot of work to do on ourselves. But I remember one of the first end of term lunches I went to in my 20s, a barrister I did a lot of work with invited me, and there were other barristers and solicitors at the lunch, and we were standing in the pub in Dublin, and to say I was dressed as like a Victorian is not to exaggerate, not that what any woman is wearing ever invites any sort of behaviour, but I'm answering that question in advance because it is still asked, and it is wrong for it to be asked, but I'm answering it in advance. And one of the barristers we were at lunch with slapped me on my bottom so hard that it made such a loud sound that every other barrister and solicitor in the bar turned around and looked. I grabbed his wrist and I said, "You never touch a woman without her consent." And nobody else in the room intervened or said anything, except for the barrister who'd invited me to the lunch was mortified and suggested that we leave and you know, go for a drink somewhere else. But that is not unusual. But also what happens when these things happen, and I've had other experiences of this, and I was interested in this conclusion from the survey that one of the, I think the dominant reason for not reporting was because the person who engaged in the bullying or harassment was senior in sort of line management, and it's this feeling of powerlessness. But I think what happens is that the people around you when this happens, either the people that you tell or who witness it, practice that sort of social gatekeeping, because our only solutions to it are really extreme. You know, that person is going to lose their job, be stigmatized. I'm describing this as sexual assault. You're then told that that's an over-description of what happened. That this was just drunkenness. This was just inappropriate social behavior. And all of those things, I think, really influence the decision of the person who's experienced this to call it out. And again, that has got easier as I've got older and more independent in the profession, you know, that those things wouldn't concern me as much anymore. And of course, I represent in my work victims of domestic violence and historical sexual abuse, and I cannot do my job with integrity for them if I don't speak up with the privilege that I have about when I've experienced things like that. But see, some of the things for fixing this, you know, are tricky and cultural and require this sort of dialogue. It's not as simple as report, get the person sanctioned or fired, or, you know. But I think when you don't provide an alternative, you don't provide a sort of restorative justice, conciliation, some sort of more collaborative model, it puts on a good person who has experienced something terrible the added burden, as well as having experienced that sexual assault, of I'm going to ruin, in inverted commas, ruin that man's life. And if I don't, am I then responsible for the five other women he then does that to at the next five Christmas parties? And so you're put in this, like,
invidious,
on top of what you've experienced, this awful dilemma about really pulling what feels like a very big trigger, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. What is the long-term impact of harassment or sexualized abuse of women, especially in environments where, as you say, they often maybe feel like they can't report it for whatever reason?
Yeah, I think we lose an incredible amount of intelligence and talent, you know? These highly educated, incredibly talented women then exit the profession, whether it's they leave the firm that they're in and they go somewhere else, or they leave altogether. And that talent that should be shared with society, and we should be getting the best out of people, we don't, you know. And they pull back, whether in small ways of, you know, not going to the networking event or not working with particular people, or they leave altogether, you know. And
do they carry it then? You know, they may have dreamed of being a solicitor and feel that they can't remain in the environment, the working environment that they're in.
I would imagine so. I mean, no matter how much you tell yourself that you didn't invite it, it is not your shame to carry. It belongs to the person who did this to you. The humiliation that comes with it, I think, is a really difficult reckoning for individuals. And it's the same with the bullying or that sort of hierarchical way of learning. You know, like a huge amount of this is structural. I don't think the solution to this is sort of hounding out the few bad individuals, which seems to be the answer we come to every time we hear of this, whether it's in the Gardaí or, you know, whatever group is, you know, identify these few individuals, and it is wrong-headed to go at it that way. Like, one of the outcomes they've suggested is developing sectoral dialogue, and the way I understand that is storytelling and conversation. So, like, the conversation that you and I are having to talk about those experiences, talk about what it means when this happens, so that this is out in the open, you know, that there's a light shone on it. So just even that we're having this conversation, I think, is the beginning of something really useful. And hopefully the Law Society are going to push this on and encourage the members, the private firms, you know, that are part of the Law Society membership, that they will have these conversations themselves, you know.
Well, thank you very much for having the conversation with us this evening. Really interesting to talk to you, Simone George. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you, Sarah.